This evening's scripture will be taken from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. And the Bible reads, "Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed."
Well, it's hard to believe that our seminar is about to be over. We have been blessed to have David Leip with us. I've got all of his credentials up here, but I'm not going to read them to you again. We've already known that he's a preacher of the truth, and we're making that simple for us to understand. And we appreciate him being here this weekend. If you were here Friday night, I got the opportunity to introduce him, and I made one mistake, and I said his wife's name wrong. And so David Leip's with us. He's married to Linda. That's all I needed to correct. So we'll let him go ahead and preach to us.
Thank you, Jamie. All right. Wow, what a great crowd that we have. Now, we got one rule this afternoon. No sleeping. I can't sleep. Nobody can sleep. Y'all see me yawning up here? It's awful. I sat back there by Beverly, and I just about went to sleep a while ago. Except these youngins woke me up. Boy, I tell you what. How'd you like to have some of that energy? Huh? Yeah, that's great. Appreciate what you fellows did, you know, up there. That was great. That's the way we train people. Isn't that right? And we mold them, and they become children of God. And hopefully, we can get some preachers, you know, out of that bunch too. Now, this is on a different thing. It's just sort of between me and Henry. But Henry, did you do that thing that we was talking about back yonder? You got it. Okay, good deal. Sorry, with the rest of you, it's just something that I. Okay. Now, I want to say thanks to Wayne over here, and what a good sport he is. I asked something about song leader, and I heard Steve, and then so I connected that to Wayne, and I called him Steve three or four times in my sermon. Y'all know by now, I have a tendency to call out names or whatever for whatever reason. I know not, but at any rate, thanks Wayne. Okay. And then thanks, Leonard. Where's Leonard? There he is, Leonard. And then thanks, Steve. Where'd you land, Steve? He left. Oh, there he is. There he is. Okay. All right. You didn't get mad and leave, did you, Steve? Okay. All right. Well, I've had such a great time here, and I appreciate the invitation to be here. And I hope that some of the things that I've said have made some sense. And I think it's rather simple myself, you know, the message. And I think sometimes we make it complicated, and I don't like complicated. It makes me have to think too hard, and I don't want to do that. But y'all have been such a good audience. You've been very receptive, and I appreciate that very much. And I appreciate the good work that so many of you've done. Delisa over here has done such a great job in communicating with me through email. And I appreciate the accommodations that were provided for me. And those of you who've read scripture, you've led prayers, y'all got a lot of talent here. I mean, I've heard three great song leaders. I bet you got more than that, don't you? And I've already heard that you have people who, you know, preach here when, I'm so tired, I can't even think. Eric, all I could think of was Wes. I was looking for him over there, and I don't see him. But anyway, oh, there he is back there. All right. You riding back there low, aren't you, Brother Eric? Okay. I used to have to get on my students. You know, I called them lowriders. Now, I got some low-riding cars. I like it. But I don't do that low-riding in class. But no, Eric is sitting up there very distinguished, and he's a good man, gracious. And how y'all like his tie I got on? You like it? I complimented that tie from Eric. Was that day before yesterday? I believe it was. And I said, that's a nice tie. And then I ate dinner with him and Vanessa and some of their folks last night, and he gave me this tie. So I put it on. Somebody give me something, I'm going to wear it. I told you a guy gave me this coat, didn't I? Yeah. Man, I tell you, I'm pitiful. All right. Okay. Well, I'm glad to be here. Hope you'll have me back sometime. And one church said, we want to have you back. And I said, well, I'm 68. Don't wait too long. don't wait too long, you know. I had a church call me the other day, and they was wanting me to do a meeting for them in 2021. And I said, let me think how old I'm going to be then. And I finally told them, I said, if I'm able, I'll be there. All right. Now, let's see. It's 1:20. And, man, that preacher was long. Was I long-winded this morning? Okay. I kind of thought I was. I don't think I was as bad as a guy I heard one time. By the way, I want to say something about Wayne over here. His daddy is from Ashland, Mississippi. And I preached in Ashland, Mississippi in the summer of 1969 between my sophomore and third year at Freed Hardeman. And I love the folks in Ashland, Mississippi. I don't know how many meetings I've done over there. And I know Luther Williams, who's at the black congregation below the one where I serve. And it's just a bunch of great folks. That's Benton County, Mississippi. It's a lot of good folks there. If you didn't tell your daddy, I said hi. And I don't even know if I've ever met him or not, but I know Ashland, Mississippi quite well. All right. Now, at any rate, I was telling you about that guy that hopefully I won't be as bad as him. This preacher's preaching, and he's going on and on and on. And then in the course of his sermon, this fella gets up, and he starts walking out. And it kind of upsets the preacher, so he stops, and he says, stop, man, where are you going? He said, I'm going to get a haircut. He said, well, you should have done that before you came. He said, I didn't need it before I came. Oh, mercy, that's terrible, isn't it? So maybe I won't be so long that you'll have to get a haircut. All right. Now, you've heard of the facts of life, right? All right. I told my wife, we raised three daughters. I said, go talk to those girls. I said, I don't do that. You know. But anyway, I want to talk to you about the facts of life, but not those kind of facts that you might be thinking about. All right? Here's some facts of life. You ready? Our chickens come home to roost. Is that right? Is that right or wrong? Our chickens come home to roost. Here's another one. You ready? What goes around, what? Finish it. Comes around. Cast your bread on the water, and what? What will it do? It's going to return, you know, in not many days. And then here's another one, you know. I could quote the scripture. We reap what we sow. The measure we give is the measure we get, Matthew chapter 7. So life repeats itself, doesn't it? I want to talk about honoring God this afternoon. The assignment that was given to me was captured in the word worship. And I asked Brother Eric if it'd be okay if I expanded that assignment to capture the whole concept of honoring God. And one of the ways that we honor God is worship, as I will discuss in a moment. But I want to talk about the broader idea of honoring God. And the good brother read from 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. And you can turn your Bibles there because I will be doing some Bible study there in a moment. But if we honor God, then what? Say it. He will honor us. If we don't honor God, what? He's not going to honor us. It's just that simple. And the scripture supports this. Listen to it. Enoch walked with God. It pleased God. And what did God do? He translated him. Isn't that right? And Abraham trusted God, and God honored him. I like the scripture that says in Genesis 18:17, in the words of God, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? It seems like God had entrusted his honor and his commandments to Abraham, because God says, shall I hide from Abraham? This had to do with Sodom and Gomorrah, you know. Shall I hide from Abraham, you know, what I'm doing? And then Jacob bargained, didn't he? And he deceived whom? Esau. And then what he sowed with his brother Esau, he reaped with whom? Laban. You remember that? And so he cast his bread out there. It came back. It came back to him, didn't it? And then David dishonored God. He dishonored God. How did he dishonor God? David, my favorite Old Testament character, he broke over half of the Ten Commandments. Can you imagine that? Broke over half of the Ten Commandments. And he dishonored God, and God turned his face away from him. And then Agag made women childless, and the same was done to him in 1 Samuel chapter 15. And then you remember the story of Haman? You know, he built gallows, you remember that, for Mordecai, who ended up swinging on him? Haman did, didn't he? And then Eli, as we're going to see here in 1 Samuel chapter 2, he failed to honor God, and he suffered the consequences. All right, I got 3 points for you. You ready? First thing I want to talk about is why should we honor God? And number 2, how can we honor God? And then number 3, what are the results of honoring God? What do you think? Does that make sense? Walter, that makes sense? All right, we got it. Okay, first of all, why should we honor God? In Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, you don't have to turn to it, just listen to it. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? That's what the Bible says in Malachi chapter 1. And if I am the master, where is my reverence? And so one of the reasons that we should honor God is because God demands it. At least on one level, that's a reason, you know, to honor God. On another level, we should honor God because God deserves it. He deserves it. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The word blessed there is a word from which we get the English word eulogy. Brother Eric and others of you perhaps have done eulogies for people. I was called to do a eulogy for a friend of mine who passed away. What do you do in a eulogy? In a eulogy, you speak well of, you celebrate, you bless. That's what you do. So when you eulogize someone, you're speaking well of them. Okay? You're celebrating them. Now, what are some reasons for us to, as it were, speak well of God? Well, you ready? Number 1, He's our Creator. That's a reason, isn't it? He made us, and not what? We ourselves. So He created us. Furthermore, He's our preserver. We are the sheep of His pasture. Psalm 100. Again, He chose us before the foundation of the world. Did you know that? From God, from all eternity, decided to have us conform to the image of His Son. That was what God's plan was. Just think about that. In God's mind, for all eternity, He planned for us, His children, to be like His Son. He therefore predestined that we be His adopted sons. Of course, that doesn't mean that He picked me and He picked you, you know, without anything on our part. You know, we responded, you know, to His grace, as we talked about in the last hour. And He should be spoken well of because He's blessed us with so many spiritual blessings. In the verse I just quoted, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in heavenly places with all spiritual blessings. How many? All spiritual blessings. Now, what are some of them? Well, if you go down to Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. If you go on down a little bit more, Ephesians 1 and verse 11, in whom we have an inheritance. Colossians 1, 14, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness. Let's see, Romans 8, 1, there's no condemnation in Him. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, in Him we're new what? Who can tell me? Creatures, new creations. In 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, all the promises of God are in Him. In 2 Timothy 2 and 10, salvation is in Him. All of them talk about being in Jesus, in Christ, in Him. And so we should honor God because of all of these incredible, you know, spiritual blessings. And so we shout with the psalmist, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. Now, how can we show our honor to God? If we should do it, how can we show it? know, we want to demonstrate our honor. And so you say, well, Brother David, how may we do it? Well, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And what I want to do, I have found here, it was very surprising to me, I have found six reasons in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and I want you to mark them in your Bible. I have mine marked. Six reasons in chapter 2 as to how God was, watch it, are you listening? How God was dishonored. If we can find out how he was dishonored, Jamie, we can learn how to honor him. So let's look at it together. Let me just give us a little background on the context. An unnamed prophet reveals that the priestly family of Eli will disappear and his two sons are going to die. That's what's going on. That's just the long and short, you know, or the very abbreviated version of the background. Now, why is that? Well, first of all, look at verse 12, number one. Now, the sons of Eli were corrupt and they did not know the Lord. Do some of you have in your translation, they had no regard for the Lord? Any of you have that? You don't? I thought, you do? Okay. I thought I saw that in a translation. Now, obviously, it does not mean that they did not know who the Lord was. You see, that's not what he's saying. But the point that's being made is they served in the sanctuary, but they didn't really have regard for God. They just sort of went through the motions, you know, as it were. They didn't recognize God's authority. They didn't truly have belief in God. All right? Number two, they were selfish and were greedy. Now, the verses for this, I've put my number by verse number 13 and following. Now, here's what was to happen. In verses 13 and following, when a person came to offer sacrifice, it was the priest opportunity to get some of the sacrifice. Okay, that's how the priests were provided for, and I'll let you read all that in the context. Well, guess what these fellows did? They were greedy. You know, they took more than they were supposed to take. Notice what the Bible says in verse 16. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to wait on that. But at any rate, they were greedy. They took more than what they, you know, were supposed to take. Now I want to say number three. So what was number one? They didn't really have regard for the Lord. All right, everybody with me? Number two, they were greedy. Greedy people. They took more than they should have. Number three, they treated the offering with contempt. Now I want to go to verse 16 is where I've got my number three. If a man said to him, they should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires. He would then answer, no, but you must give it now. And if not, I will take it by force. Therefore, the sin of the young men, these are the boys of Eli, was great before the Lord, very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. All they were thinking about were their stomachs. So, number one, they what? They didn't have regard for the Lord. What's number two? They were greedy. What's number three? They had contempt, you know, for the sacrifice of God. All right, now look at verse number 22. This is number four. You ready? Now, Eli was very old, and he heard everything that his sons did to all Israel, how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Lord, have mercy. What do you think about that? Not awful? So here these men were, you know, functioning in a priestly capacity, and they were being immoral. With whom? The women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Number five. This is going to take us to verse number 25. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them. And so, number five, they wouldn't listen to Eli. But let me say this. What little voice he uttered. See, Eli was not a very good father. He didn't discipline these boys. But what he said here is the truth, but they would not listen, you know, to him. He did not restrain these boys. Now let me show you proof of that. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 13, I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile. How did they make themselves vile? They had contempt for the offering. They were immoral, you know, with the women and so forth. They made themselves vile. And look at the end of verse 13. And he did what? Not restrain them. Boy, that's a lesson for us parents, isn't it? He did not restrain them. Oh, he said a little bit. You know, he says, if a man sins against another, God will judge. If a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Well, thank you, Eli. Anything else? Not much. Not much, Wayne. He didn't have much. See, I got that right. He didn't say much more. And so, what was that? Number five? Allison, you keeping up with that? All right, number six. You ready? This takes us to chapter 2, verse 29. Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering which I have commanded in my dwelling place? Now, watch it. It's going to sort of ease up on you, but listen to it. And honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people. That make yourselves fat goes back to that point. Which was it? Was it number two, where they were greedy, you see? Now, what is the problem in verse 29? Eli honored these wicked boys, these evil boys. He honored these boys who did not have regard for God, who were greedy, who were immoral, and who were characterized by all of these other, you know, really negative things. And guess what? In spite of all their wickedness, Henry, Eli honored them more than whom? Than God Almighty. So, with that background, let's ask the question, how then can we honor God? How can I honor God? Well, we can honor God if, unlike Eli's sons, we know the Lord. See, they dishonored God by not having regard for the Lord. They did not know the Lord. And so, what can we do then? Well, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And so, what we want to do is know God. I mean, truly know God. I believe, Brother Eric and I were talking about this yesterday. Some of our problems is because people don't have a good understanding of God. An understanding of the concept of God. You know, sometimes we have the idea of God that He's sort of a doting grandfather, and, you know, He lets the grandchildren, oh yeah, y'all can do whatever you want to. Yeah, fine, I don't care. You know, I'm going to send you home to your mom and dad anyway. So, but God is not a doting grandfather. God means what He says. He says what He means. And we must respect it. And so, God help us to truly come to know Him. Number two, they were what? What was number two? They were greedy. So, how do we show honor to God? We show honor to God by not being greedy, by not putting ourselves first, by not thinking of ourselves, but thinking of God first, right? And thinking of our fellows first. But we have a tendency not to do that. You know, the Bible says if we come to God, Matthew 6:16-24, if any man come after me, let him do what? What is it? Deny himself. So that means that we don't have regard for ourselves. We put God first. Seek the kingdom how? First. Y'all know what first means? Isn't it interesting? Did I hear you say something this morning? Where are you, David? Didn't you say something about graduates this morning? Sometimes churches in this time of the year will say, And I've been picking on, I have not actually been picking on Sister Lucille. I didn't learn till after my sermon that her name was Lucille. But I love that name, I'm sorry. Of course, B.B. King's one of my favorite, you know, blues guys, and his name, his guitar is Lucille. But anyway, and see what you did, you made me forget my point. Yeah, thank you, brother. Boy, y'all ever get so tired you can't even think? That's kind of where I am. All right. How many times at graduation have we heard, Brother Wayne, we want to congratulate Sister Lucille or Mary Jane or whoever. It's usually a girl because girls are smarter than us. But who was first in her class? How many times have we said that? Now, I have heard recently that they're going to do away with valedictorians. Have you heard that? Because that's making others, dummies like me, feel kind of bad. You see, that they pick out somebody. I don't know. I'm sorry. I get weary of all that correctness stuff. I don't even know what to say anymore, y'all. I still say firemen. But there are women who fight fire. So what am I supposed to say? A firewoman? Why can't I? A fire person? Firefighter. Okay, so you can't say chairman anymore. You have to say chairperson. I'm not trying to, if I mess up, I'm not trying to be chauvinistic or anything. It's like I said to, I went into a car establishment one time, and I said, is there a salesman here in this, I'd rather just say woman instead of lady. She came up to me and said, no, but there's a salesperson here. May I help you? And I said, I don't think so. And you know what I did? I left and I bought a car somewhere else. She lost a sale over there because it was just getting kind of smarty. I don't like somebody getting smart with me like that. Well, at any rate, how many times have we said we want to extend congratulations to so-and-so who was first in her class? Does everybody understand what that means? We do, don't we? We understand that to mean she had the highest GPA or whatever, right? Now, we had a wonderful fellowship, didn't we, today? Thank you all so much for that dinner. That was wonderful. Now, Mississippi, we say dinner. Y'all are a little fancy here. You probably call that lunch. And then tonight you say what? Dinner, but not me. That was dinner today, and tonight it'll be what? Supper. There you go. All right. But at any rate, and at a wonderful dinner like we had today, sometimes we will say, you know, we'll have so-and-so lead the prayer, and then someone will say, now we want our visitors to go first, like y'all were so nice accommodating me today. Does everybody understand what that means? How many fellowships have you been to wherever you heard we want our visitors to go first? Did you ever hear or see one visitor lean over to another visitor and ask, do you know what that means? See, they don't do that, do they? Why? We know what first means. You see, what does it mean to seek the Lord first? What's that mean? That means to seek Him first, doesn't it? He comes first. First over what? Whatever. You see? He's first. So, it's not a cognitive problem. We all know what first is. The problem is practical. The problem is putting it into practice. I see y'all are seeking the Lord first here today. Some people, you know, as it was uttered in our prayer, I think it was in our prayer today, some people are not able to do that, and we understand that, of course. Some people have professions and so forth, firefighters and doctors and nurses and other professionals and so forth that are not able to actually even be with us today, and we understand that. But these boys did not seek God first, and so we honor God by putting Him first. Number three, what was their problem? They treated the offering with contempt. And so what about our attitude toward worship? We want to be sure that we got the right attitude, we want to have the right belief, and we want to have the right practice. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 84, 1 and 2. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Now, is that your attitude toward worship? And then what about that other Psalm 42, 1 and 2? We have a song. As the what? Deer does what? Pants at the water. So my soul longs after God. Isn't that a beautiful, you know, picture? Can't you just see, you know, this weary, you know, animal, you know, finally coming to water and just, you know, enjoying that and being refreshed? And that should be our attitude toward the worship of the Lord. And so we've got to have the right attitude, but we've got to believe the right things, and we've got to practice the right things also if we're going to honor God, you know, in the right attitude. All right, number four, they were immoral. So if we're going to honor God, then we've got to present our bodies as living sacrifices. Isn't that what Scripture says? In Romans 12, you know, 1 and 2, present our bodies living sacrifices. Don't be conformed to the world, but be what? Transformed. Brethren, let me tell you something. We don't have to be like the world. Someone says, oh yeah, but I mean, those lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and vainglory of life, those are such, you know, powerful things and so forth. Well, that's true. But God has given us the strength, you know, to live above, you know, the sin that we find in the world. And then number five was what? They did not listen to their father. Well, how can we honor God? We can honor God by listening to our parents. Listen to what Scripture says in Ephesians 6, 2 and 3, where it says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And so, children, we have the obligation. You have the obligation to honor your parents. And some of us don't have our parents anymore. I lost my father in 97. I lost my mom in 03. How I wish, you know, I could call them up and express, you know, some honor to them. Number six, Eli honored his sons more than God. And so what do we learn from that? We learn that we must honor God more than our children. God's got to come first. You know, the Bible says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Is that right? He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. How many times have we had that situation where, you know, a relative comes by or whatever who's maybe not a member of the church or whatever? I hope your attitude is like mine on that occasion. Well, Aunt Mary, I love you. Wish you'd go to church with me. But if you can't, I'll see you in a few hours. What do you think? Am I right about that? Make yourself at home. You know, I'll catch you later. See, we make a statement when we you know, say we're putting God first. Yeah, I tell you, it breaks my heart. I actually talked to someone a few months ago. I missed him at church. Well, our children came from out of town. Well, what in the round world's that got to do with anything? Of course you love your children. You want to be with your children, you know, and so forth. But God comes first. My worship to God comes first. I love my family, but God comes first in our life. So we honor God when we put Him before our children. And so the conclusion of it is what? God is special. That's a word that's thrown around a whole lot today, but that's the best word that I can come up with. Now finally, what are the consequences of honoring God then? Well, what did we say? Did you hear our brother read it? If we honor God, then what? He's going to honor us. Well, how does He honor us, you might ask? Luke 6:38, the Bible says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You ever go to a market and buy like a bushel of peas? Do you do like me? They put some peas in my basket and they say that'll be such and such. I say, oh, hang on just a minute. Give us more peas. You see? We want to press it down. We want to shake it down, right? We want it to be overflowing. And so that's sort of the way, you know, God does us. I like this statement by a name you might be familiar with, Spurgeon. God always pays good interest on His loans. He always pays good interest on His loans. You know what's I love about being a Christian? Mark chapter 10, 28 and following, Peter said, Lord, we've left all to follow you. And Jesus responded by saying, if you've left all to follow me, in this world you have what? Houses, you have mothers, you have fathers, you have brothers, you have sisters, you have children. You see, my fleshly parents are deceased. I have two sisters, but both of them are out of the church. But you know what? I have sisters. And I've met some new ones over this weekend. See, you're my sisters. And I never had a fleshly brother, but guess what? I have a lot of brothers, and I've met some new brothers, you know, right here this weekend. And though I don't have my fleshly parents anymore, some of you are old enough here to be my mother and my father. I'm old, but you're a little older than me, you see. So you see, what am I saying? I've still got mothers and fathers. And I have houses. I have preached this gospel the best of my ability all over this world. I've preached in Poland, and if I go to Poland, I got a house over there. If I go to England, I have a house there. If I go to, let's see, Trinidad, I have a house there. If I go to the island of Grenada, I have a house. If I go to parts of Russia, I have a house. Why? Because I've worked in those places and other places, and I know people there, and they love me, and I love them. And if I need a house, that's all I've got to do. And I got a house. So that's how God honors us. He gives us, you know, those kinds of blessings. And some specific things. He gives us respect among men. I couldn't help but think of Mark 6:20. When, you know, the Bible, you know, that's the occasion about Herod and John the Baptist and so forth. And the Bible says that Herod feared John. And he believed that John was a just man. And Herod had protected him. So see, we have respect, you know, among men. God gives us the ability to have influence for good. So you brethren, you my brothers and sisters, you're able to be lights out here in a dark world, you see. God gives us that opportunity. He gives us the opportunity just to serve. Do you know that? He gives us incredible opportunities, doesn't he? Sometimes we don't see them. Sometimes we don't take advantage of them. He gives parents the pleasure in delighting in their children when they, you know, serve the Lord like they, you know, should serve Him. And He gives us as servants the satisfaction of knowing that we've served the Lord. You know, sometimes in this world our labors seem in vain, don't they? I read about a tornado went through, I think it was Tuscaloosa, was that a few years ago? I believe it was now, and destroyed a lot of property. And I remember this one house that was destroyed, and this person finally got it built back. And then it might not have been in Tuscaloosa, but it was about that time. And then she got her house built back, and lo and behold, another tornado came through and blew it away. And I thought, wow, you know, it seems like our labors are in vain, doesn't it? But let me tell you something. When you serve the Lord, your labor's not in vain. When I preach the gospel, if someone doesn't respond to the invitation, when Brother Eric preaches, if people are not baptized who need to be baptized, his labor is not in vain. My labor is not in vain. Noah preached over 100 years, and he didn't win any of those souls in the community. Thankfully, he got his family. That'd be wonderful if we could just save our families, wouldn't it? But his labor was not in vain. When I pillow my head at night, having preach the word, when I pillow my head having taught and tried to convince people to obey the gospel of Christ, when you pillow your head, you know, having done the same thing, guess what? God is not going to be upset with us if we didn't reach them. He's going to be upset with us if what? If we didn't try to get the message in their hearts. You see what I'm saying? So we as servants can take satisfaction in the fact that we ourselves have done what we can, you know, to serve the Lord. Sometimes our honor that we receive from God is strange. Sometimes it's even unseen. I can't help but think of Job. You remember when God spoke to Satan, he said, "Have you considered whom? My righteous servant Job." But see, Job was not really aware, I don't think, of anything. But there's God in heaven, you say, you know, saying to Satan, "I've got this righteous servant Job." So sometimes, you know, we're receiving honor and enjoying honor, and we don't even know that we are. It appears strange to us a little bit. So it's a wonderful thing that we're honoring God today, isn't it? Amen. And I want to say thanks to you for giving God the honor that you give to Him. Our coming together here, our singing, our praying, all of that gives God glory and honor. That's what we're supposed to be about, right? You may have not named the name of Christ, and therefore have not given God all the honor that you should. And we want to give you that opportunity this afternoon. You know what you need to do in order to become a Christian. We had one sister who came forward this morning soliciting prayer, and Brother Eric prayed in her behalf. And we'll do the same for anyone else this afternoon. If we can help you some way, won't you come as Brother Wayne leads us in song? Shall we stand?